I call to order the December 9th business meeting of Simpsonville City Council. Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Root. Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Schumaker.
Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes for November 19th, 2025. Are there any corrections, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. It is time for citizen comments. We have had one person sign up to make comments, and I call on former mayor, Perry Ikor, Mayor Emeritus, I guess, maybe, to come to the podium over here, Mayor, and make your comments.
My name is Perry Ikor. I live at 703 North Almond Drive for about 50 years. I'll ask you tonight just to remember something. Ed Grazier, who was a big supporter of the city council, passed away and had his funeral Monday at the time. And several of us were there at the time. I would like, when I moved here years ago, the first person I met was Ed Grazier. And he was a godsend in helping filling things out. I did not always agree with him politically, but we always had a civil discussion about it. And I can say that in all the years I've known him, he never had anything but the best interests of Simpsonville at his heart. Everything he did, he thought it through and tried to do something for the city of Simpsonville. What I would like to suggest is that you consider having a memorial to him. Either a park bench or plant a tree and do something for it at the time, or even name a city street for it. Ms. Lawrence, the Gray Tally Quarter was named after a councilman before. So I would just suggest that you consider it. I don't know how we would afford it, or take donations or whatever, but we ought to really remember that he had the best interest of Simpsonville at his heart. And he did an outstanding job for all those years and never got much recognition for it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mayor. So at this time, I am going to call Mayor Pro Tem Roche. I believe you have a point of personal privilege.
Trying to do this without crying. My point of personal privilege is to recognize Councilmember Lou Hutchings. Oh, I'm not going to go through this book. I first met Lou 8 years ago, maybe nine. We started a little group called Simpsonville Sings, and the whole point was to do Christmas carols. Our city was not in great shape. We had a lot of turmoil politically, budgetarily. There were a lot of things happening that were just not positive in the city. And we kind of had the idea, along with some friends that lived here then, you know, to start doing some positive things for the city. And he liked to sing, and I liked to sing, and we had a couple other friends that said, hey, let's get together and sing Christmas carols. And that's how I got to know Lou and his family. And then we decided to run for office. And so we both ran the very same year, and it was a whirlwind of an election. I still feel the drag marks from that election. Once we were on council, I recognized always that Lou always had the best interests of this city in mind and everything that he did. Lou is, for all intents and purposes, the most warm, fuzzy, councilperson I've ever met. He contributed in ways that always brought quality of life to Simpsonville and his families. The Swamp Brother Trail.
No.
All the planning that we did for that, and just getting it started. It took so long to get just what we have now, but everything starts somewhere. Getting the Christmas tree. We just celebrated our 7th annual Christmas tree lighting. We never had that before in Simpsonville. Simpsonville Sings is our official song now. These things that Lou always put his fingers on and said, hey, let's do this. It all pointed to quality of life. And having raised a big family here, a phenomenal family, I can't say enough about the example that he is, not just as a council person and citizen, but a good family man. He raised some really wonderful children and grandchildren. He will be missed tremendously by me, but don't discount the fact that he's leaving council. I don't look for him to just hang it up and ride off into the sunset. He currently has a fundraising thing going for the victims of the apartment fire that just happened this week. So if you think of him tonight and you want to do something great in honor of Lou, reach out to Councilwoman Williams. Collectively, they are collecting clothing and items for the victims of that fire. And again, that's Lou. Lou is Meals on Wheels. He delivers meals to people. He does things that nobody knows about. Anyway, I'm going to miss you tremendously. Thank you for the 8 years.
I also rise to a point of personal privilege is to raise up everything that Sherry has just said, and also to say that Lou, you are a man of honor and integrity, and it has been my privilege to serve together with you on this council for the last 6 years, and just echo everything that's already been said. Thank you for your service to the community. Things back up on the screen here. Moving on to business. Item 6A, commissions and boards appointments. John Irby, our planning director, will you summarize those?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. This is the time of year we do need to appoint seats on our planning commission for zoning appeals. Currently, we have 3 seats that will be coming available in December. Mr. Alan Gillespie, Mr. Mike Giordano, and Mr. Lawrence Woodall. I served with the planning commission for 2 terms for some of those. They are stepping down this year, so we have 3 seats on planning commission and 2 on the board of zoning appeals. In your staff report, you did have applicants provided. We did reach out to these 11 total. We have 9 on planning commission and 4 on board of zoning appeals. Staff did talk to these applicants. Some of them have advised they would attend tonight to do a little introduction. I would like to note that Mr. Rob Folk and Ms. Amy St. John are unable to attend tonight. So at this time, this is a 4-year term for 3 seats on planning commission.
All right, this is the list of applicants, and I'll call on Emily Schwab. Am I saying that correctly?
Schwalbe.
You would introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about why you would like to serve.
Good evening. My name is Emily Schwalbe. Do you need my address?
No.
For this? I've been a lifelong resident of Simpsonville. Lived out towards the Fort Shoals area for a long time. I've been in the city since about 2019, and you know, this is my home. So I know that this is sort of the fundamentals of how good governments function, with making sure that, you know, we're following the laws when it comes to things like that. And development is something that's really important to me, so I just want to be a part of the community and a part of the team that makes Simpsonville, you know, that place that we all love living so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Call on Geneva Lawrence, former council member. Is Geneva here?
Good evening. I'm Geneva Lawrence. I am a former council member, as was said. I also served on the Planning Commission for 2 years before my term on council. I am very distressed with some of the planning and development that I see going on all over the county. We have a lot of rampant development that does not provide for the citizens. And I would like to see if I can help stay on the right track and get it changed. That's why I put in to be back on the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lawrence. Mr. Howard Lentz.
Hi, I'm Howard Lentz. Sorry. I moved here about 30 years ago with my wife. Raised our daughter, she's 28 now, and this has been our home. I've been involved in my community, in my homeowners association. I've been on the board more times than you can count. And have been on the Board of Zoning Appeals recently. Have enjoyed that. And I've spent my life in layout and design, and I've always seen the far end. I've worked with engineers, I've worked with all of the people in the far end, the architects. But the idea of the planning, the long term, the 5 years, the 10 years, the 20 years, has always been intriguing to me. How did we get to this point instead of just executing? So for me, it sounds like something that I'd like to be more involved in. And I see our city becoming mature, harder and harder to continue growth, harder and harder to move and become. We're growing or we're dying, right? So it's really important to me that I could be a part of that. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dane Lytle. Mr. Lytle. Not present. Mr. Mike Teal. Not present. Mr. Rick Tomlinson.
My name is Rick Tomlinson. I've been in Simpsonville for 10 years in Greenville County since 2010. Prior to that, I was in Atlanta for 20 plus years. I was a contractor, a vice president, a home builder. And I also designed and developed software for several industries. I believe a smart and practical approach for planning and development for the city is the smart plan. And I, in contributing my skill set along with lessons learned from past experiences, I hope to contribute to the quality of life for both the city and the residents. I believe I'm a good fit for this position, and I will commit to attending all of the meetings, all, and strive to do the needed research to make an educated decision on all the items for the commission. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Tomlinson. Ms. Roxy Kincannon.
Can you see?
Hello, I'm Roxy Kincannon. My family's been here since before the Revolutionary War. I lived on the same street my entire life. I served 2 terms on BOSA. I was on that first committee that worked on the comprehensive plan. That was years ago. I think I would enjoy the Planning Commission. I enjoyed BOSA, but I think the Planning Commission would be a little more interesting. BOSA's sort of cut and dried most of the time. And I think I can make a contribution now since it will grow in a more organized manner. So I would appreciate your vote, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Kincannon. Mr. Kirby, you indicated Mr. Polk was unable to be here this evening, so we'll go on to Mr. Ronald Reams.
My name is Ronald Reams. I'm a lifelong resident of Simpsonville. I think growth has gotten to the point it has to be managed, but it's going to have to be a cooperative effort between the city and the county. You know, if you're on East Curtis, Fairview, West Georgia, you know, it's a fire hose every morning coming in. And we can only manage so much in the city, but I think with the city laid square within three county council districts, we got 25% of councils there. So I think, you know, formulate a plan, work with the county to manage the growth outside, because as a city, we have no control over it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reams. Council, you have 9 candidates on the list here. If you'll find your ballots that are have a yellow highlight on the left edge, that's marked round 1. You must vote for 3. That makes a total of 18 votes since we have 6 council members present this evening. So please write your 3 choices and send it down to the city clerk. While these ballots are going down to be tallied, I will explain to everybody present how this voting process works. You must receive 4 votes of council to be selected as a planning commissioner. After this round of voting, if you've gotten 4 votes, then you are confirmed as a planning commissioner. If we don't have 3 successful candidates after this first round, anybody who has been confirmed will be taken, you know, will be not be voted on again. We'll eliminate the lowest vote getters, and then council will vote again among however many seats that we still remain to fill. We'll keep doing that, eliminating the low vote getters and voting for however many seats we have until we arrive at 3 commissioners.
Hey, Mayor.
Hold on one moment. Mr. Kirby, is it 3 seats or 1 seat?
Planning Commission? 3 seats.
3 seats. All right. So,
okay. Tomlinson has 4 votes.
Tomlinson?
Mm-hmm.
4.
Lentz, 4.
4.
Teal, 3.
Three.
Lawrence, 2.
two?
I'm sorry, Emily. I'm going to say Emily. Emily has two.
Emily has two?
Williams has two.
Which one?
Ronald Williams at the bottom.
Has two, so.
And
six, nine.
Oak. One.
Is that total up to 18? Help me vote. All right, so by that, we have two people who are already confirmed, Howard Lentz and Rick Tomlinson. So if you'll make a note of that, Clerk Clark. And let's see, I'll take them off. Now, the way this works, that means we have one opening remaining, and the low vote getters are Dane Lytle and Roxy Kincannon. So now we have five candidates remaining. Council, find your ballot marked number two and list one name.
Teal has three. Emily has one. Lawrence has one. Folk, one. And Williams, one. I'm sorry, Fulton. I'm sorry. No, not him. Not Rod.
Okay, so we are down to four candidates. All right, wait.
Folk is zero. Williams, one.
Ah, the other way around. Yes. Okay, so. All right, so in this case, instead of voting again among the four candidates, we have three candidates who are tied as low vote getters. So what I would like the council to do is we're going to choose who is going to run against Mike Teal. Okay? Because if we all vote the same way again, that's exactly what we'll end up having to do. So we might as well just skip right straight to that step. So, council, do not vote for Mike Teal. Find your ballot. I guess the ballot round three, and vote for one. If not, you'll be Mike Teal. Everybody, that this is the process to determine who is going to run against Mike.
They all got two.
We gave this out. This is definitely a possibility. I think what we're going to do is we're going to vote one more time and see if anybody changes their vote to see if we can come up with an elimination. If not, if we all vote the same way again, or if it turns out that, you know, we could have people swap. But if it comes out that way again, then we'll discuss what we want to do next. So everybody find round four, write in one choice among those three. Yeah, between Schwalbe, Lawrence, and Reams to determine who will run against Mike Teal.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Reams has three. Lawrence has two, Emily has one.
All right, so the low vote getters are Geneva and Emily, so it's going to be between Mike Teal and Ronald Greens. So find your ballot for number five. And put one candidate. While we're tallying votes, I will point out that this process works better when you have an odd number of council members voting. Councilmember Roop was ill this evening, so that's why we're one short. We normally have very high attendance at our council meeting.
It was a tie.
It was a tie. All right, we're going to go one more time, and then we're running out of ballots here, but we're going to go one more time and see if there's any change.
Teal has four, Rams two.
So Mike Teal is our final candidate confirmed. So the three candidates that are confirmed as planning commissions are Howard Lentz, Rick Tomlinson, and Mike Teal. Mr. Derby, would you discuss the Board of Zoning Appeals?
Yes, sir. Thank you. We do have two seats. The Board of Zoning Appeals coming available in December. Mr. Howard Lentz has served with us, just been appointed to Planning Commission, so his name will be taken off the list. Mr. Jermaine Smith, has served on our Board of Zoning Appeals, has been reappointed. And then you have Mike Teal, he's be taken off, so that leaves Emily Schweibel, Jermaine Smith, and Amy St. John to choose from. This is a three-year seat.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. So we have three candidates and two positions. So find your ballots that have the blue edge and find round one and write your two choices and sign it and pass it down. Oh, I guess I should have had the people speak first.
Yes.
He's not here. Emily has spoken. If you have new words to say,
opposed.
Okay. Jermaine Smith, if you would come up. This changes anybody's vote, but let's see if Mr. Smith can sway anybody. Apologize about that.
Good evening, everyone. Jermaine Smith, Simpsonville resident for the last 19 years. I have had the pleasure of serving on the zoning and appeals. Enjoyed working with the board members, working with John, also working with the people that have came to stand before the zoning, the different businesses that we've been able to help break into Simpsonville to make the city great. So I just look forward for the opportunity to possibly serve again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
They all got four.
So that means we have to. That, wait a minute, that doesn't work right. It should be a total of, no, that's right, there's 12 votes. You can have a tie. You can have a tie. So let's go to round two and see if anybody changes their vote. This is Mr. Smith, we've actually gotten a clean ballot now.
Emily has five, Smith has three, and St. John has four.
All right, so the top vote-getter is Emily Schwalbe, and I believe that that will mean that she is confirmed as our next Board of Zoning Appeals member. Are there any objections? Oh, I'm sorry, there's two. We've got two there. I'm sorry, there's two. So Amy St. John is also confirmed. Thank you. Councilmember Rear. Appreciate that. So we have Emily Schwalbe and Amy St. John appointed to serve as Board of Zoning Appeals members. So thank you for coming. We are very glad that you came out and spoke to us tonight, all you candidates, and appreciate your willingness to serve your city on these boards and commissions. So thank you very much. And congratulations. Mm-hmm. Item 6B, second reading of ordinance O-2025-11, amend code of ordinances section 8-41 and 8-42, technical codes. Mr. Kirby, will you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's not like a fantasy football draft. This is the ordinance to update the way we adopt the building code to govern our city. Just to rehash, this is standard procedure to do it every 3 years to an ordinance. By passing this ordinance, it allows staff to automatically update the current code concurrently with the state. So nothing has changed from the first reading. I think three questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kirby. Call on Councilmember O'Shea for a motion.
Mayor, I move that council approve second reading of ordinance O-2025-11, amend code of ordinance section 841 and 842, technical codes.
I have a motion from Councilmember O'Shea with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Item 6C, second reading of AXZ 2025-2022 Rose Lane. Can you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Council, this is a single property at the end of T Rose Lane in the Rosemont subdivision. Currently, there's four lots at the end of this road that are in the county. This single property wants to be annexed from there. County designation of R12 into the city as R-low with the rest of the neighborhood. Nothing has changed since the first reading.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor Johnson, I make a motion to approve on second reading AXZ-2025-03, annexation of property at 322 Rose Lane.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
I'm always happy when people want to annex into the city in a situation like this, so I'm glad to see them coming in and welcome to the city of Simpsonville with the rest of us.
Any further discussion? On the motion to approve on second and final reading of AXZ-2025-03, annexation of property at 320 T Rose Lane, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Item 6D, second reading of ordinance O-2025-12, amending code ordinances section 16-4, wards and boundaries. Councilmember Pickman, would you summarize, please?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to approve the second reading of ordinance 0-2025-12, amending code of ordinances section 6-4, wards and boundaries.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember Roche. Is there discussion? Just to clarify, I'll jump in since no other council members have raised their hand. Just to clarify for the audience, this is a change to the ordinance that corrects an error that was in the ordinance that still called out an old census date instead of the 2020 census. We used the 2020 census when we redrew the ward lines. We just didn't get that 2020 number put in the ordinances. So this corrects that issue, and Mr. Pinkerton was the one who found that and put it in for correction. Any further discussion? On the motion to approve on second reading of ordinance O-2025-12, amending code of ordinances section 16-4, wards and boundaries, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Item 6E, first reading of Z-2025-02, rezoning of properties located at 118 and 124 Northeast Main Street. Mr. Kirby, would you summarize, please?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll switch over to the PowerPoint. Yeah. Thank you. This is the rezoning for the old City Hall property, 118 and 124 Northeast Main Street. Current zoning of this is urban. What the applicant is asking for is innovative development. At this location, they're looking to develop a three-story mixed-use, multifamily and commercial development. Parking will be on the backside, 144 spaces, looking at a maximum density of 80. or their statement of intent. This will have access on the Head Street and on College, limiting access on Northeast Main Street. Utility online, undergrounding the power lines on Main Street and College as part of the Streetscape project will help allow the project to build out to the zero build line for the MLA district. I think it's going to summarize that. Live workspace, public art will be introduced into this along with EV and possible solar installations. I think it's summarize that. If you have any questions, I'm glad to answer.
Thank you. The motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve on first reading of Z-2025-02, rezoning of properties located at 118 and 124 Northeast Main Street.
Second. Motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton.
This would be a question for the developer. And of course, parking has become a major topic of concern. So, with the parking within your footprint, how do you plan to organize that? Is it going to be closed off to the public? Or are you going to rent these spaces out to the apartment holders? Is it going to be gated? I just want to understand that although there's been a lot of discussion about parking and the limited amount of parking that we have there, what is your intent to regulate that parking?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Heather Rader. I'm a partner with John Paz, and that's one of the developers of the project. To answer your question, it would be open to the public. It would not be gated, but it would be designated for residents and commercial tenants. So there would be a barrier, if you will, for people to come in. We would have a professional property management company that regulates whether or not someone there is parked legally or illegally, and then we would go through whatever necessary enforcement there would be to remove somebody. Typically in a mixed-use project, if there's sometimes stickers or a process where you can regulate what that would be, usually the retailer commercial tenants may want some reserved spaces up front along with any type of ADA or handicap spaces. So that's typically the process that we would go through. To regulate people not using the parking appropriately. As far as the fee or charging for parking, from a residential perspective, it's typically included in the rent. Some property managers and owners will provide an incentive or a disincentive if someone wants to park closer or further away. But given the scale of this project, it's relatively close, so we don't know. Sometimes people will pay extra to be in a certain location and parking and stuff like that. So we're not envisioning that here to help really incentivize or change people's behaviors if they're not following the appropriate rules of where people can park.
So in general, though, having experienced this myself, usually you might get it free the first year, but when you want that second rent, usually the parking gets in there, but that's up to you guys.
Yeah.
But for the most part, then, a majority of these spaces are going to be reserved for tenants.
Correct. That's right. They will be privately owned and for. We want to make sure if people are paying rent to live there or to run their business there,
or customers are coming, we want to make sure that there's parking available for them on that site.
Is there any public spaces allowed in there?
No, currently there is not any plan to have any publicly available spaces, though there is talk of as part of the development agreement, there is the facilitation of having some public parking on Hedge and things like that, but that's not part of the zoning matter, I believe, here.
Right, well, that would be the city's parking on Hedge.
Correct.
Okay, I had a concern because parking has become quite a topic of discussion here, and as it sits right now, there's ample parking for a lot of people, and when we put this in, you're creating parking spaces for yourself, but it does take away a lot of the public spaces that we have out there. Even though there's apparently a move to add some parking spaces on Hedge Street, I'm just pointing out that there's going to be an issue with parking later on, and that's my main concern. So you answered my questions, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Council? Councilmember O'Rear?
I know there's a lot of commonality in our line of questioning as it comes to parking, because I do think that's the largest challenge of this project right now. You know, I sat at home and pulled out my magnifying glass and tried to look at the things I printed out and tried to crunch some numbers. It's 144 parking places, and I tried to do an average of the number of roughly the bedrooms in the community, and it's about 108. So that leaves you with 36 if everyone got assigned the number of spaces per bedroom, which is, I think, is fair. That leaves you with 36 spaces to then accommodate two retail establishments, a restaurant, and anyone that might actually visit someone in the apartment complex. And crunching the numbers, just guesstimating, try to do it on the low end, I think you're going to need about 180 or so parking spots, upwards of 200. And I just don't see how you get there, even with this new thing about Hedge Street. That's 20 public parking spots that anyone could have. So you can't even count that number in there. So we're looking at the 144 number, 108 of it. It's going to have to be set aside for the residents. And that leaves you 36 for everything else, including employees of the establishments, customers of the establishments. It just comes down to space and numbers. It doesn't come down to qualifications or you know, the look of the place. It just comes down to there's not enough parking, and you can't get enough parking, because I think Councilmember Pinkerton alluded to it. That will be our problem in the future. When I say our, it's going to be the city of Simpsonville's problem in the future. We're going to wipe out everything that's being used right there, that the church, who's been so gracious to the city over the years, they use that, everything that's sitting there, they use every bit of that on Sundays and probably some Wednesdays. So that cuts them out. And like Councilmember Pinkerton said, you know, a lot of the public use of this is going away for private use. And I just don't think logistically it can be done without a lot of headache for the city in the future, because we're going to be the ones that handle. I mean, I know Councilmember Hutchings and I, when a business downtown decided to make people pay for parking and then they started towing people when they didn't realize they needed to pay, we got the call. I think Councilmember Hutchings probably remembers that, and that's who we're going to get that call. The mayor will get the call, Shannon, and Councilmember Williams and Roche will get those calls, because there's just not enough and you can't create it here. And that's the problem I see. So that's kind of my 2 cents worth and all of that, and we'll hear what they have to say the rest of the way. Thanks.
Councilmember Roche.
Hate to beat a dead horse, but parking. We required it of Vaughn's. We've required it of all of the other developments that have come in, you know, to add parking if they're bringing in something new. I don't think this is a reason to hold up the rezoning, but the master plan does come back to us before the build begins, correct?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
So sometime between now and that, I would really encourage the developers to figure out how they're going to provide more parking. It's not enough to provide it just for the residents that live there and the business owners that are going to be running the retail. There has to be somewhere for your customers to park. And it shouldn't become a burden to the city for us to provide that for them. We're already putting people in church parking lots and gravel lots and negotiating rental places everywhere we can. So
I'm going to vote, of course, to rezone this, but when it comes back to us with the master plan, if there's not parking, I can guarantee there's going to be an issue. That's all.
Council? So I have a couple comments regarding parking, kind of pushing back a little bit in the opposite direction. To begin with, a tremendous amount of the public parking that has been enjoyed there was on public property. It is no longer public property. It's now private property. And so the fact that the church members from Upstate Church have been enjoying that parking on Wednesdays and Sundays has been a privilege that continues, not something that was, you know, kind of guaranteed there by having City Hall there. We are trying to get this to its highest best use. So in I guess what I'm trying to say is that if we're expecting a private landowner to provide as much public parking as was there in the past, I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. And I haven't heard anybody on council say that that's the expectation. But are concerned about having enough parking, at least for the establishment that's going to be built there. And I agree with that. I think that it's incumbent on the developer to make sure they have adequate parking for the uses that they're putting forward. But I also think that it's also something that they're being thoughtful about, making sure that they do have enough parking, because you can't rent a business space if there's not adequate parking there. You won't be able to command the rent that you would want to have if you're not providing the parking to go with it, and likewise with a place to live. If you can't provide some parking for your residents, you're not going to be able to rent your apartments. So I believe that they are thinking about that, and their studies are saying that they feel like that they've got that covered. I will also point out that this developer has offered to us an opportunity, and it is at our expense. You know, the bulk of it would be at our expense, but to address long-term parking needs in our downtown. Now, it's not on this piece of property. It is on the Burdett Central property. They would deed over to us a portion of that property and build a parking garage there. And I can't remember the number of spaces that was going to be, but it would be a multi-deck parking garage that would then belong to the city and belong to us to manage. So if we really truly have concerns about parking, there's an opportunity there for us to pursue, and maybe that's what we should be discussing. I don't think that it's fair to put all of our parking concerns on one development. I think we need to take into account that parking is an issue. We know we have over 900 spaces in downtown Simpsonville right now. So, you know, we've got a lot of parking available. If we do believe we need more, I think that this is something that we should discuss as a council. Do we want to pursue this parking garage to address these issues? I think that covers what I had to say. I would hope that we wouldn't hold up a $40 million development and the significant amount of tax revenue that would be generated by this development, both in property taxes, which account for 36% of our revenue stream, and also in hospitality and accommodations taxes that would come from a restaurant coming into this property. This is not small potatoes. This is, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner amount of potatoes. We need to pursue these things to continue having revenue coming into the city to support this. The amount of revenue that would come for this would pay for two full-time police officers. Ongoing. This is ongoing revenue from this facility. So I hope we don't hold up whatever we would want to spend the money on over parking spaces. So that's my comments. Anything further from council? If not, then I will call for the vote. On the motion to approve on first reading of Z-2025-02, rezoning of properties located at 118 and 124 Northeast Main Street, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
That motion carries by a vote of 5-1 with Councilmember O'Rear voting no. Item 6F, Resolution R-2025-05, Textile Rehabilitation Certification, the Burdett Textile Factory. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Council, this is to certify through resolution that the prior location we just talked about, 118 and 124, was utilized in the manufacturing process of textiles in the past. It has not been claimed yet, but that's what they are certifying tonight, that those two lots were used in conjunction with the textile manufacturing in our downtown. So, and that packet has some evidence to support that, and I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion's in order. Councilmember Williams.
Council, I move to approve Resolution R-2025-05, Textile Rehabilitation Certification, Burdett Textile Factory.
Okay. Have a motion from Councilmember Williams with a second from Councilmember Hutching. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Item 6G, Resolution R-2025-06, conveyance of Garrett property to the City of Simpsonville. Mr. Coker, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council. This resolution would authorize a conveyance of approximately 0.8-acre site that is part of a property that's owned by the Garrett family. It is located at the intersection of Fairview and South Main Street, and also is bounded by the rail line on one side. The intent behind the conveyance would be for its future use by the city as a pocket park, a trailhead for the Swamp Rabbit Trail extension, and a gateway into the downtown district as well as to Heritage Park.
Thank you, Mr. Coker. Motion is in order. Councilmember O'Rear.
Mayor and Council, I move we adopt Resolution R-2025-06, conveyance of Garrett property to the City of Simpsonville.
Second.
Have a motion from Councilmember O'Rear with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear.
I spoke a little bit last time about this. The Garrett family I've known forever and a day, and the gentleman that's going to be signing this document for them is a friend of mine since childhood. But I also wanted to kind of throw out while we're on this topic what Mayor Icor said, talking about Ed Brazier. Well, that piece of property is right across the street from where he ate an awful lot, Coach House and Carolina Fine Foods. And that's not a decision we'll make now, but a little thing I'll throw out. Maybe that's something to consider with the park we're going to get. I know it's not a big piece of property or anything, but I think that would be pretty neat being right across the street from his hangouts. So, but I thought I'd throw that. But I'm glad the Garrett family's being generous and doing this for the city.
Thank you, Councilmember O'Rear. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mr. O'Rear stole my thunder, but I would like to make a recommendation that we consider naming that park after Mr. Brazier. Mr. Brazier was at our last meeting when this was first brought up, and we recognize him, and that's the last time I saw him. And he has served this city so well. At his service, I heard that he had gone 50 years to Rotary without missing a meeting, and that's just amazing. At least 50 years, maybe more. And this property, the reason we're getting this property is because he and I went down and talked with the Garretts, and he was the one that spearheaded that meeting several years ago. It's taken a while to get that actually done, but I would highly recommend that we consider naming that park. And also, the mayor spoke earlier about this with recognizing him in some way. I think this would be something that he would be proud of if he were to realize that. So I would as others have said, I think this would be very appropriate.
Thank you, Councilmember Hutchings. Councilmember Roche.
Just want to add, I'd be in agreement with Councilmember O'Rear and Councilmember Hutchings on naming the park after Mr. Brazier.
Council? No, I'll only add one comment. Hear, hear. Thank you. I would also support that. Any further discussion? On the motion to approve resolution R-2025-06, conveyance of Garrett property to the city of Simpsonville, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Item 6H, first reading of Ordinance O-2025-13, Trespass Enforcement Authorization Program. Administrator Coker, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council. This ordinance would allow the Simpsonville Police Department to work with property owners who wish to become part of a program that would allow the Simpsonville Police Department to enforce trespass onto private property. This has been a conversation that predates me, but it is something per our council is a very wise thing to have in place.
Thank you, Mr. Coker. Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve first reading of Ordinance O-2025-13, Trespass Enforcement Authorization Program.
Second.
The motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. At this time, we are considering entering executive session to discuss a contractual matter pertaining to the CCNB Amphitheater at Heritage Park and to discuss a personnel matter pertaining to the administration department. Do I have a motion to enter executive session? Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council move into executive session to discuss a contractual matter pertaining to CCNB Amphitheater at Heritage Park and to discuss a personnel matter pertaining to the administration department.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. No action will be taken in executive session except to adjourn or to return to public session. Council will not commit this public body to a course of action by a polling of members in executive session. I do anticipate that we will return to public session for one item after we finish our executive session. City Council has voted, I'm required to announce this by state law. City Council has voted to enter into executive session as allowed under South Carolina Code 30-4-70, paragraph A, subparagraph 1, confidential personnel matters, and paragraph A, subparagraph 2, contractual matters. Upon coming out of executive session, council may reconvene the meeting to take action on matters discussed in executive session. City Council is in executive session. Simpsonville City Council has returned to public session. We have a couple of matters that have arisen out of executive session, and we'll start with this one. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council direct the city administrator, working with the CCNB Amphitheater Selection Committee, to enter into contract negotiations for management of the amphitheater with the contractor discussed in executive session, and to return a proposed contract to the next possible City Council Committee of the Whole.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Pinkerton. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries 6-0. The next item is I move to authorize the city administrator to hire an attorney with expertise in entertainment contract law to advise council on the contract for the CCNB Amphitheater at Heritage Park.
Second.
I have a motion from the mayor with a second from Councilmember Roche. Any discussion?
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries with a vote of 6-0. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.